Good morning. This is August 5th, 2018, a Sunday morning, and I'm making a talk because I can't help it. It's wanting to come out, so we'll just let it and see what happens. If you haven't done so already, please be still. Find a quiet place before you listen to this talk where you can close your eyes, slow down, invite the spirit to reveal itself. And it doesn't matter if you do that by just taking a deep breath or whether you use words like "Speak, Father, thy servant heareth," or "Spirit, reveal thyself," just so that you know you're listening within to what's revealed to you, because 10 different people could hear this talk and each of them individually will hear something different. All 10 will hear something different than the other. So invite the spirit to reveal itself, and then you can listen to this talk. Now, there's been two principles, really, that have been floating around inside of me, but the big one, the one out of which everything is coming, everything is flowing, is this. And now I really want you to get this. The principle is, I have meat that ye know not of. I have meat. Now, meat. Well, first we have to wonder, who is this I? Who's saying this? I have meat. If you've had any success in meditation, if you've felt that inner movement or that inner tingling or fizzing or whatever words you want to give it, if you've felt a presence, a transcendental presence, something not material, something that carries my peace, and when it descends upon you, you feel it, even as I am now, that presence is the invisible I, the one doing the speaking. That I existed before the world was, and that I will exist after the world ceases to exist for you. In the beginning, God created I, but not really created as much as expressed. And so God, expressing I within you, I say unto you, I have meat that ye know not of. What is this meat? Some people call it supply. I have supply that ye know not of. But supply is not money. Supply is every good and perfect expression of the Father, which comes to you, and you see it as money. You see it as a companion or companions. You see it as life or health. You see it as body. But all those things that you see are material. That's not what God has to give you. Listen. Really listen. I, the invisible, infinite I, have meat that ye know not of. You've never known it. What is that meat that you've never known? It's an infinite supply of every good and perfect gift flowing forever as your experience. It's an infinite ocean of love flowing through you as your experience, as the love that you give and the love you receive. It's eternal life, a life that was never born, a life that cannot end, a life outside of the material sense of life. It's an eternal life. It's an omnipresence, an omnipresent body. It's a self that is everywhere and everywhen. I have meet a whole new existence. I have Christhood that ye know not of, and I will give you Christhood. And so the principle is, I have meat that ye know not of. But it's not enough to know this intellectually. It's not enough. There must be an act, a specific action that goes with the inner realization. I have meat. I have meat that ye know not of, a whole new life, a new body, a new mind, omniscience, a new infinite supply, a new eternal life, a new omnipresent love. This I have, and you have not known it. I have meat. Therefore, act as if I am, and I will be unto you. Not for your neighbor, but for you. If you act as if I have meat, you will prove that you really do have meat. It will take the inner awareness, I have a new existence. I have it, but I have to let it express. And how do I do that? By a specific action. Act as though I am, and I will be. When you, the man that told me that principle so many years ago, that it turns out was, he heard from Ernest Holmes, told it to me this way. He said, act as if you are God's son, and prove that you are. And so first the awareness, hey, I have meat. What is this meat? Let this meat flow, Father. Reveal this meat, this existence I didn't know I had. And as it begins to flow, there's a specific act you must do in order to prove you really are the Son. And then you come into the awareness and the action. And here's how Joel speaks of it. In this book here I have in my hands, it's called The Mystical Eye, and you can't get any more mystical than this book. And yet, there's a chapter, chapter 10, called An Act of Commitment. He starts us with the conscious awareness of this meat, only he's calling it here the womb. It's the same thing. Listen, this is what he told the audience just a day or two before he passed into the invisible. This was in June of 1964. He says, as I sat in meditation, these words came to me. The Womb of Silence. And with them, it was as if there were a tremendous silence, large and round, and this was the womb out of which all creation came. All creation was formed in this womb of silence. There was not a man, but there was a universe. The earth, rocks, trees, streams, stars, seas, sky, suns, moons, and planets. All this flowing forth as an unfoldment from this huge womb of penetrating, complete stillness. Yet more than stillness, absolute silence, quietness. And so you can see that the first half of the equation, part number one, is going within and feeling this silence, feeling this meat that flows out from the silence. He says it moves as if in a rhythm, and this rhythm not only forms it, but sustains creation with everything in its rightful place. Looking out into this universe, you can see there is snow and ice in the north and warmth in the south, flowers and trees of one nature in the south and another in the north. This rhythm, the rhythm that is flowing from that silence, maintains and sustains creation beautifully, all in its order. Eventually, man appears here and there on the face of the globe, also maintained by this rhythm. It is a flow of rhythm that maintains the activity of the body, the organs, and their functions. Everything seems to be responsive to this rhythm, and all this rhythm is flowing forth from that womb into form as grace, beauty, order, peace. Ah, so that's the first part. Now, part two. When anything goes wrong in our experience, it is because we are out of tune with this rhythm. What does that mean? You've guessed it by now, I'm sure. We're out of tune because we're living a material sense of existence. I'm living a life as Bill. A life that Bill built. How scary is that? That's not something I want. Maybe I'm living a life as Mary. The life that Mary built. Or John. Or Suzanne. But I'm living a false sense of existence, and I'm not in rhythm. I am not eating of that meat, which I know not of, because I know not of. And so I'm living as a human. I'm hoping these things are true. But when I live as a human, I'm not in tune with the rhythm. That meat is not my experience. My experience is a material sense of me. We can observe the willow tree, how it moves with the breeze, almost flows with the breeze. Then imagine what would happen if it were to stand erect in the breeze or resist it. It would be broken. And so is man broken the moment he is moving outside the rhythm, outside the flow that brought him into manifestation and expression. So, I proceeded, and you can say this to yourself as well, I proceeded forth from the womb of silence. And the womb of silence is, out of the womb of silence comes the meat, the existence that I know not of. You remember. Master, would you like us to go to town and get you some meat?
No.
I have meat to eat that you know not of. What is he talking about? Does anybody know? Do you know what he's talking about?
Listen. I have meat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of the Father. My meat is to be the expression, the living expression of God. My meat is to be the flow that proceedeth forth from the womb of silence. My meat is to be the living Son of God, the living expression of God, the living God expressed. That's my meat. That's my inheritance. That's my real existence. That one is the only one governed by God. This material sense of self that's 64 years old and has a little arthritis here and there and has a limited income on Social Security and has friends that are dropping away as they die out of this, off of this earth. Who is that? That's the material sense of existence. Remember, I have meat ye know not of. You don't know what it's like to experience an infinite, omnipresent body. You don't know what it's like to have an eternal life that never dies. You don't know what it's like to have omnipresent love. You don't know what it's like to have omniscience, the mind that was also in Christ. But this is the meat I have. I have it. If you come to the inner realization of it, where you feel it, as I do, and if you will make an active commitment, which he's about to explain, you will know the two principles. I have meat that ye know not of, and act as though I am, and to you I will be. Your neighbor won't know it. Two people sitting on a bench. One is the expression of divine being. The other is a material sense of self. They're a foot apart, living in two different universes. One is in the material sense of this world. The other is in the spiritual sense of my kingdom. That is my being in expression, God expressing itself as Christ. So let's look at the second part of this. As a human race, we are not being governed by the rhythm of spirit, the rhythm of the silence. It may very well be that it's because we insist on taking thought. We insist on a way or a will or a life of our own. We insist on a family of our own, instead of recognizing the oneness of all life. It could well be that we will come partly back into the rhythm by acknowledging that there is only one family, and we are of the household of God. Acknowledging the common fatherhood of God would be one way to restore the harmony. Now, you know the two commandments that the Master left with us, and he who said, I have meat, was the living expression of that meat, that will of the Father in expression. He is that now. And he gave us two commandments. You can forget everything if you get these two. And what is the first one? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, heart, and soul. That's what you do when you're in this inner realization of the silence, of the womb of silence, this inner realization of omnipresence, of the I that has meat, that has a whole new expression right where you are. When you're feeling that, I guarantee you, the only thing you can feel is a love. It just flows out of you. You can't help it. Then comes this act of commitment. After realization must come an act of commitment. This is the second commandment. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And let's see how we do that. It involves some doing. Is it clear that to reestablish ourselves in the original rhythm, it becomes necessary to do it by an act? Intellectual knowledge is not enough. It must be followed by an act, which is where the second principle comes in. Act as though I am, and you will have the consciousness, or, and I will be. This is a commitment. This is an act of commitment. It's the second commandment, boys and girls. If we declare that we are all of the household of God and then continue to live only for our family, for those of our own religion or nation, we're virtually contradicting ourselves and setting up a friction. Once we acknowledge this universal relationship by an act of commitment, we must enter into the rhythm. That's the inner awareness. And then begin to act in some way that will commit us to the welfare of those others outside our home, our community, our nation, or our church. If we merely acknowledge our Christhood instead of living out from that Christhood by an act, we set up a conflict. Yes, you can't know this truth about yourself. You can't be in your meditation and say, I have meat that ye know not of. And now, Father, let this meat reveal this meat that you have, this existence that you have for me from the beginning of the world. And then open our eyes and see everybody else as humans. Oh, that rascal cut me off on the highway. Doggone it, I should... Oh, look at those people doing that. How can they do that? You see, you're living in a dual universe. You're living only the first half. I have meat. But you out there, you're a lousy human being. You're still drinking and doing drugs. What's the matter with you? You have to have both parts. I have meat ye know not of, and act as if that's true, and prove that it is. And so Joel says, begin to act in some way that will commit us to the welfare of others. There must be an act of commitment in which we live as the Christ. You see? You act as though you're the Christ. And I will be right there with you. See, this is not metaphysical. This is deep as it gets. Act as though I am your existence, and I will be your existence. Now, listen. In the moment that I recognize the Christ of you, I am called upon to act toward you as if you were the Christ. You see this? This is so beautiful. two parts. Part number one, I have meat that ye know not of, and now I'm willing to let this will of the Father manifest. Let this meat manifest as my Christhood. And what does Christ do? Christ serves. Serves others. You may be, well, he says here, very often students wonder if their spiritual teacher is aware of the nature or the degree of their spiritual unfoldment or lack of it. You may be assured it is as impossible to hide your degree of spiritual unfoldment from the teacher as it is to hide it from God, because there is a sign. There's a sign that you're beginning to experience this meat. And that sign is an act of commitment. Until the teacher observes that sign, he knows exactly how far spiritual development has proceeded. And the moment he witnesses the sign of commitment, he knows the student has gone over the hump and has reached a place beyond humanhood. What does this mean? This means there's two parts. First, you come to the inner realization, the real realization, hey, I have meat that I've never known. Oh God, manifest thy meat, thy will, thy expression, thy existence, the existence you gave me. Show me out of this womb of creation, this existence. And when that inner realization comes, really comes, you can't help it. Now you're acting as if it's true by serving others. And it shows, you can see it. Love is flowing through you because you recognize not only your Christhood, but the Christhood of all you see. And you can't help it. It flows. That's where we started this. I can't help it sometimes. It just pushes and pushes, and I have to let it flow through as a talk. Now, something else enters in here. Suzanne shared it with me this week. And I think this is a newsletter that goes out. I'm not sure how often it goes out, but the title of it is, for July and August, is Judge Not. And I like this. It says, Judge Not is one of the major spiritual principles to be embodied by the earnest spiritual student. When mastered, you are no longer in this world. When you judge not, you are no longer attracted to this world or fearful of this world. You are dead to this world. So where are you? You are in a new dimension, a dimension of love, the fourth dimension. You are motivated by love and love only. You know that love is not of the mind, but of the heart or the soul. And love is an experience and cannot be mentalized. Open your heart so love can flow in. You will judge not when you know whatever you are seeing is an appearance, a mirage. Joel said, never since the world began has one man, woman, or child ever been sick or dead. You see that? Now we're saying the same thing here. Judge not means stop walking in a material sense of your own existence. Stop walking in a material sense of those around you existence. Stop it. Come within. Come within again and again until you realize, feel, F-E-E-L, you feel this inner womb of silence. You feel this inner rhythm. You feel this expression of God. You feel the spirit moving. You feel this meat flowing. I have a whole existence that you know not of. So you stand down. Do what Joel said and become a beholder. Stop making those decisions. Let I form itself, be the meat of your existence. See, this is on a whole different level. And when you have attained that inner realization, even in a little part, it expresses, God expresses as Christ on earth and flows through you in some form of service, like that newsletter. Some form of service. And yes, the teacher knows. The teacher knows. If you're still asking for help so you can have a better personal income, so you can have more personal health, so you can have more, a better personal companion, so you can have a better house or a better neighborhood or whatever it is of material sense, you are asking for help to improve the dream. You're not acting as though I am. You're not acting as though I have meat. You're acting as if somebody can pray and make your human life better. And the teacher knows this. But here and there, there's a handful, and the teacher sees them. Look, they're beginning to serve. It's obvious they have come into some part of an inner realization. I think of Barbara and her blog. In one way or another, we pour out. There are others that have tape groups. Now, I'm not saying we should all get into this work, because there are as many ways to serve as there are people. There are some who serve only through prayer. They devote, and Joel recommended this, they devote a certain amount of meditation every day for the world, that the world may come into this new existence. And they're devoted to it. And they never miss a day, almost never miss a day. These are beautiful souls. They're helping to lift the entire world into the kingdom awareness. Now, Joel says, this brings us to an important part of the infinite way. It is not difficult to convince a person that he can get away with evil and be undetected by God. But, if he were taught correctly, it would be no one gets away with anything, because the judge is closer than breathing. It is one's very own consciousness. Now please understand, don't go back into religion. Judge not has nothing to do with religion. The old religion that says, oh, don't do this. If you do that, you're being a bad boy. You're being a bad girl. And you've got to be good to get into heaven. And we were so indoctrinated with that, so brainwashed with that. The whole Western civilization practically rests on the belief of good and evil. And you have to be good. No, that's not what it means. That's not why you don't judge. Because you're going to be in trouble with God. has nothing to do with it. Judge all you want. God doesn't care. God's not going to move or change his being or his love. Why then? Why don't I judge? Because when you judge, you're living in a material sense of existence. And I don't care how accurate your judgment is. You may be one of the finest psychiatrists that ever lived. But if you're judging, you're living in a material sense of existence. You have not yet found the meat, because ye know not of, and because you are not acting as though it's true. You're still acting like a material sense of person, and you can't prove that it is by acting that way. So, he talks about nobody is being rewarded. If you know that 2 times 2 is 4, that's not a reward for you, that mathematics works and you can lay down the right number of tiles in your room because you understand area and how to arrive at area dimensions. No, that's not a reward. That's just the working out of mathematics. And it's not a punishment if you don't understand mathematics and your calculations are wrong and you come up short by three feet of tiles and you have to go back to the store. It's not a punishment. It's just that you didn't apply the mathematics correctly. And you're not punished when you sow good or evil and good or evil comes back to you. That's not a punishment. It is you living in a material sense of existence. You do not have the inner realization yet of this meat. I have meat ye know not of. I have an entire existence that ye know not of, and you haven't realized that yet. And the proof is, I can look at you and see there's no act of commitment. You're still getting into trouble and then asking for help. Now, I know we all get into trouble sometimes and ask for help. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if your entire existence is made up of the need for constant demonstrations of spiritual principles, you just might not be over the hump yet. All right, so he says here, and this will be the end of it, every time we violate spiritual law, the rhythm is broken. We violate spiritual law every time we do not acknowledge God as omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and every time that we do not love our neighbor as ourselves. Can you see? Can you see there is two parts to this? That the Master was right when he told us that we have to have this inner realization of this meat, this existence that I've never known. And once I am so still that the existence begins to flow forth, there will be this act of commitment, loving my neighbor, far and near, enemy and friend. Can you see this? And the two go together. I have meat that ye know not of, and act like it. Act as though I am. Act as if you have that meat. Act like the Christ, and I will be your experience. You see? It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Now, that's all I'm going to read of that chapter. I wanted to look at one other thing, because it's, if you have found, and there are some of you out there, I know who you are, I see you. If you are one, and there are several in our group, if you're one who has begun to stand still, if you've begun to, in your meditation, stop to the point, to the stillness, to where you feel this inner silence, this womb of creation, out of which this meat, this new existence flows, this Christ life. And if you are showing it forth by acts of commitment, by service, you are ready then for this next step. This is coming to us from Leave Your Nets. Do you understand? Leave Your Nets now doesn't mean leave your, let's say that you've developed a habit of smoking. It does not mean leave that habit of smoking. It does not mean leave this habit you have of buying a lottery ticket every so often. It does not mean, you know, anything like that. Leave your nets means leave your material sense of existence, all of it. Your material sense of self and your material sense of them. Leave both. Leave all of it. At first, maybe only in your meditation, but that's enough. If you can have, what did Joel say, 30 minutes free from this material sense of self, you will find yourself in heaven. And I can tell you it only takes a minute, less, even sometimes just an eye blink. So if you are one of these that has begun to leave your nets, leave that material sense of existence, if you are coming into the conscious awareness of what creation gave you, which is an omnipresent love, if you're coming into the conscious awareness of an eternal, everlasting life, if you're coming into the conscious awareness of an infinite body, spiritual body, then you are ready to leave the material sense of existence and to experience this meat that I have. And to you, Joel says, the day eventually comes when another transition has to be made, and the realization dawns that neither supply nor body is material. Even the universe is not a structural universe. That boy likes to drive fast, doesn't he, on that motorcycle? So, if you're coming into an inner awareness of the meat that ye knew not of before this, not an intellectual understanding, not that you can agree with this, but the actual conscious awareness. You're sitting there in your meditation, and oh, wow, for a moment, I touched my everywhere self. Wow, for a moment, I felt the undying self of me that was never born. Oh, my God, I just felt an infinite source of love. You see? Actual awareness. If you're coming into the actual awareness of that, then you're coming to see that supply and body are not material. No, they are this invisible meat flowing forth from the womb of silence. And so, Joel says, my kingdom is not of this world, no, not in any sense of the word. There are joys of which the people of this world have never even dreamed, a meat that ye know not of, an existence ye know not of. There is a sense of health of which nobody in mortal or material sense, or even the mental or halfway spiritual sense, has ever conceived. There is another world, a new world. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. There really is a heaven, or a new sense of existence. And when the old earth and the old heaven are washed away, you come into the new earth and the new heaven and find that they are purely spiritual. Now you enter a consciousness in which spirit is your only health, your only supply. This is the meat that you know not of. Now you enter a consciousness in which this meat is your health and your supply. Now you do not think of using spirit to get a human companion. You do not use spirit to make the heart beat faster or slower, or bring the blood pressure up or down. Here again is another transition. In this stage, this man who has been dying for a long time is completely dead. Now he is resurrected, probably more than resurrected, ascended into a divine state of consciousness in which the values are no longer earthly. And you can see it by that act of commitment. That transitional experience will go on and on and on until the ascension above all sense of this world. And then where will this world be? Would it say over there on Suzanne's newsletter? Where will this world be? It'll simply cease to exist. Then there will be no more reincarnation for you, because there will be no place into which to be reborn. The complete and perfect virginal spiritual birth or sense of being will have been achieved. This is the dying daily and the rebirth that goes on continuously until the complete ascension. Alright, so we have two principles. The major principle is I have meat that ye know not of. This is the Christ of you. This is the Father within saying, I have an existence for you, child, an expression as you, and you can come into the awareness of it. You can actually come into the awareness of the living God expressing as you. And when that happens, you won't be able to stop the second principle. Act as though I am that expression, and I will be that expression to you. Maybe not to your neighbor, maybe not to your spouse, but I will be that expression to you. Because when you have this inner awareness of your everywhere self, it expresses in acts of service, in acts of love, in acts of selflessness to all who come within range of your consciousness. And then somebody looking on that also has this awareness knows, ah, there it is, they've found both parts, part A and part B. Or there's somebody living by the two great commandments. The two commandments the Master gave us because he knew there was two parts. Love the Lord thy God, or realize that spiritual sense of existence, and love your neighbor as yourself, or express as that spiritual sense of existence to your neighbor, which is also that spiritual self. You see? So, these two principles are not in conflict when you see them like I've been seeing them. And as I said last month or whenever it was, a few weeks ago, I don't remember. I am determined to live by this principle, the major principle. I have meat to eat that ye know not of. I want to live in that state of consciousness to the point where it expresses and becomes a living experience, so that this material sense of person here can, at least in meditation and sometimes with eyes open, be sort of dissolved in the background somewhere. And this I can appear as the meat, the existence, the presence, the mind, the body, the life of the I right here. And I'm really working with this, and I don't want to move off of this spot, and I hope you don't either. I hope you don't convince yourself, I've got it. I mean, it may come to you in one tremendous cataclysmic experience, but for most of us it comes in the daily practice, the practice of going within and resting in that womb of silence, knowing that the I there has meat that I've never dreamed of, and living as a beholder and watching it express in forms of love and service to all that is. Now, this does not mean that you should, that you become a saint overnight. No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean that it shows up that you've really had this awareness, because you won't be able to stop it from expressing. That's what happened to me 13 years ago. I think it's almost 14 now, maybe longer. I've lost track. As I sat here in my meditation and I felt that inner source of meat, source of supply and life and love, and I knew this has to express, but how? And then came the idea from within for mystical principles. And in my heart of hearts, I had always made a commitment to do something about Herb Fitch and his talks, but I couldn't do that until I had permission. Once I got permission from his widow, I put the website up, and I put his stuff on there too. Up until then, it had just been my talks. And so this is the source within expressing as the meat of a new existence, which flows out and did all the work necessary for these 1,200 plus talks to go out freely to the world. You see? I can remember, I think it's in the Art of Meditation somewhere, that Joel says, when the Christ time has come, it will flow forth freely, and there'll be nothing you can do to stop it. So you don't hide your light under a bushel. It shines. It's not you doing it. You're observing it. I didn't have any plan to make this talk. I was just working with this principle. And then in my meditation came the second one. Act as though I am, and I will be. First have the awareness, and then the action. An act of commitment. I Christ, thou Christ. And I wondered how the two came together, so I put it up on the Mystical Principles Yahoo list and trying to track down the source, and then it finally came to me where the source came from, and that was from Ernest Holmes. But Chuck Chamberlain got a hold of it and lived it this way. However Ernest meant it, Chuck gave it to me like this, so that it meant, if I act as if I am Christ, I will prove that I am. Act as though I am, and I will be, you see? And so it takes awareness and also action. It takes the two great commandments. He had it right all this time for 2,000 years. Love God with all your might, all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, and love your neighbor as the Christ, as yourself is the Christ. And that's it. Well, let's be still and see if there's anything else. It feels pretty complete, but let's be still and let's end this with the feeling of that inner spiritual silence, the womb of creation. I have meat that ye have never known. Be still. You don't have to work that hard. I have come that you might have life, eternal life. I have come that you might have omnipresent love. I have come that you might have infinite body. I have this meat, this new existence. Only be still and let the I express. Father, thy meat. And we let that meat appear. We don't help it. We don't try to funnel it into some material desire. This is a whole new existence. Let go. Leave your nets. And let me express. I have meat. And Father, as we leave here, show us, where can we be of service? What have I to give? Where can I pour? Can I send out prayers? Can I send out cards of love? Can I send out money? Can I send out service? Can I help that stranger I don't even know, and yet I do know, because I am that stranger? Let us take the two great commandments, the awareness, the love of God, and the awareness, the love of our neighbor, of Christ, and let us live these two principles. And as for me and my house, I follow Christ. I'm a beholder, and I watch, I wait, I behold the invisible meat that I've never known before coming into expression right here as my life. And I discover I live, yet not I. Christ liveth my life. And oh joy, and oh peace, and oh wondrous things that you have never even dreamed of. And so thank you, all of you who responded to my query online, and through your dedication brought forth this talk. I am grateful, and I love you, and I know who you are. Christ, the living expression of God. Thank you.